How about I was talking this last segment. I was talking about some of my favorite memories from All-Star Games past, and little did I know, you know, one of the ones that stuck out for me, and is unfortunate too, because I remember in 1983, Fred Lynn hit a Grand Slam home run, and I'm pretty sure it was the only one ever hit in All-Star Game history, but he hit it off of a young pitcher for the San Francisco Giants. By the name of Atlee Hammaker. And, you know, it just, you know, he gave up 7 earned runs in 2/3 of an inning. So I was looking at his bio, and little did I know that he actually had a chance. He had a full ride scholarship offer to play basketball at East Tennessee State. And he currently lives, he's 61, and he lives in Knoxville with his wife and family. So there you go.
How about that?
Yeah. So you,
I hadn't heard that.
Yeah. So you just never know. There's always these little hidden gems that are out there. All right, so here we are, and things get really ramped up starting next week with the SEC Media Days, when it feels like summer is now over and it's time to get serious about the fall. And then before we know it, everybody's reporting back to camp, ready to get started and geared up for the upcoming season. You know, your thoughts about Tennessee. You know, it's easy to be, you know, second-guessing 5 years down the road. I really think that Jeremy Pruitt, with the Tennessee Vols, that he's going to make this work with the Vols. Do you have that gut feeling, or are you still playing the wait-and-see game?
I'm still playing the wait-and-see game at this point, because I've seen this at Tennessee a couple times the past decade. So I think, you know, we sort of had an idea with Butch Jones that he was going to get it at least to a certain level. And then obviously beyond that, he had trouble sustaining it. Things appeared to be on the right track under Butch Jones, certainly going into year two. Derek Dooley, I think there was still a sense going into year two that he was in pretty good shape at Tennessee. He had a couple of disappointing losses in year one that could have changed maybe the trajectory of what his Tennessee tenure looked like. But otherwise, I don't think year one was a huge disappointment for him, and people still felt pretty good about Derek Dooley at this point. So I definitely don't think you know just yet, but I do think this, even though I'm hesitant to say anyone, you know, has shown enough after one 5-win season, let's call it what it is, but I do think there are clear signs that Jeremy Pruitt has learned quickly as a head coach, and that he is capable of making the adjustments necessary, and that's where I think Tennessee's past couple coaches have failed is having to replace your first round of assistant coaches, having to tweak your staff to make it as good as it can be. You know, Jeremy Pruitt's done that going into year two. And I think that's, as much as anything, is a clear sign that he sort of gets it and knows what he needs to do. And now it's just a matter of whether he can do it and take advantage of the talent he has.
You know, I still go back to a movie, it was almost 20 years ago now, Any Given Sunday. But here's Al Pacino giving his great speech there to his team. And he's talking about, you know, game being of inches, and you got to fight and you got to claw for all those inches. It comes down to, if you have a great team, handful of plays, difference between being great and being, quote unquote, the national champs, for example. The same thing applies if you want to go down that list a little bit, down a few steps on that ladder, where a below-average team, a handful of plays of being average, an average team, handful of plays from being above average, and et cetera, et cetera. And I bring it up because, you know, one of the ways to get there, and I knew immediately, and I was saying this, you know, from day one, second year of Butch Jones, it was just by the things that that was coming out of his mouth, not just the cliches, you know, you can dismiss those, but it was the fact that you were already setting your team up for losses in games that they haven't even played yet. And when you have that mental approach, you've already lost. He might as well have been fired after year two, because you knew that it wasn't going to get better or to the point where the fans of Tennessee were ever wanted it to be, if you know what I mean. I don't get that out of Jeremy Pruitt, and that's one of the reasons why, you know, you were talking about playing the wait-and-see game just a little bit and seeing how this all plays out. I can already tell you, in so many ways, Jeremy Pruitt is way ahead of where Butch Jones ever was.
Yeah, I completely agree on that. I think the mindset that you see from Jeremy Pruitt is much more what you expect to see from a long-term successful head coach. I think for those of us who covered the program, I think you're exactly right. There were some signs there behind, you know, sort of behind the scenes and in press conferences and public settings where you saw that insecurity or whatever it was in Butch Jones that made him sort of worry too much about fan expectations even before they ate him alive. He was worrying about it, and you can't worry about that kind of thing. Jeremy Pruitt, I think he's much more just the traditional football coach in the sense that when he's upset about a loss, I think he's going to tell you. I don't think he's going to be worried about how fans are going to perceive, you know, what he says or slowing down the fan expectations and things like that, pumping the brakes going into the season or whatever. I don't think he's concerned about that, and I think he's going to handle things the right way in that regard. So, yeah, I think that is definitely true, and I think that's a clear distinction between Jeremy Pruitt and Butch Jones, to see that the way he approaches things compared to the way Butch Jones handled things with his players and with the public. Butch Jones would have been honestly freaking out a little bit about fans starting to hear some talk of 9-3 this year for Tennessee, for example. The ESPN FPI has shown that Tennessee has a 50% or better chance of winning 9 of its games this year. And that kind of talk would have had Butch Jones just shaking in his boots, I think, knowing that fans were starting to expect that. I don't think Jeremy Pruitt's worried about that. I think he's just worried about getting his team prepared, and fans are going to think what they think, and his job is to get his team playing the best it can, and that's all he's worried about.
I mean, I go back to last year, the fact that mid-October the team goes down to Auburn, down on the plains, and walks away with a win. So a major feather in the cap there. And then a huge win against Kentucky in the second week of November. That would have been all great. Unfortunately, all the goodwill you get, you know, you throw it out the window, because the next two games, which cost Tennessee being bowl eligible, you know, lay an egg against Missouri. It was an awful loss, losing 50-17 to Missouri. But then and this is the part that, you know, the Tennessee Vols fans don't want to, you know, they understand that Vanderbilt has a great baseball team. They don't want to recognize the fact that the football team has now won 3 straight over the Tennessee Vols. And it wasn't like it was a game decided by a field goal or whatever. I mean, we're talking about 38-13 in that final game of the season.
Yeah, that is the one that fans, I think, really had a tough time swallowing. Even though you can make excuses for the Missouri game, you know, Drew Lock, sort of a pretty special quarterback, obviously, for Missouri. You're not going to find too many of those. They had some really good receivers on that team. Some guys that Tennessee had a tough time matching up with. I don't think people were going to buy the same excuse about Vanderbilt, although I think there were some very good players on that team that have given Tennessee fits over the past few years, obviously, from the quarterback position to throughout that team. There's some good players top to bottom that have played well against Tennessee, so I don't think you discount them. But, yeah, I think that was the one that was tough for fans to accept, that, you know, Tennessee was still that far away from Vanderbilt. I think that was clearly a team that had just run out of gas or didn't come to play its best game that day. I still think Vanderbilt might have been just the better team, period, but I don't think the gap between them was probably that significant, and that left fans with a bad taste in their mouths that otherwise wouldn't have been there, because you're right, the win over Auburn and the win over Kentucky, I think, made people think, hey, Jeremy Pruitt's got a chance. He's shown some things. And I still look at it as that was a Tennessee team that was not even a slight favorite, really. I don't think it was really better than any SEC team it faced last season. I think he essentially found a way to squeeze 2 SEC wins out of that team that shouldn't have really been expected from it on paper. There was, in theory, that team could have gone 3-9 if things hadn't fallen their way and they hadn't found a way to beat Auburn and beat Kentucky. So I think to do that alone, that's something Butch Jones was not able to do throughout his Tennessee tenure, kind of get a team to overachieve in a way. And I think that's sort of what Jeremy Pruitt did by knocking off a decent Auburn team and a Kentucky team that obviously had a really good year.
The other thing that's really important, I mean, the Tennessee Vols, they start their season against Georgia State on August 31st. They can't pull a UMass or an Appalachian State. They've got to take care of business against Georgia State. And what I mean, it's a directional school, great, you know, but look, they're going to be, you know, they're going to take their paycheck, but they're also going to try to also walk away with a W as well. You know, this is a game where if you're Tennessee, if you really want to show the fans that we're turning the corner and that we're heading in the right direction, forget about the following week against BYU. I think it starts out of the gate. You've got the whole month of August gearing up for this Georgia State game, you can't have a 17-13 kind of game at the end, if you know what I mean. It's a game where you're supposed to win. There's a reason why you're giving Georgia State all that money to come into Neyland Stadium. You need to be able to send a statement starting that week, not waiting until the BYU game.
Yeah, and I think you always learn a lot about teams in those types of games early in the season. Like you said, often if you take care of business, that maybe isn't a sign that you're going to be a really good team. But if you don't take care of business, it can be a sign that this team is maybe not as good as you thought. And I think a clear example of that was 2016 when Tennessee opened the season against Appalachian State and sort of stumbled out of the gates and barely was able to squeak out a win against a solid team that you didn't know what to make of it at the time. But I think it was clearly a sign that team was not quite going to compete up to expectations that year. And that ended up kind of playing out over the rest of the season. So I think you can find some things to judge from those games, and you're right. I think they do need to take care of business in that game. They need some confidence, too. I think they need to show. I think there is a sense throughout the program that things have changed, that they feel a lot better about things now than they did a year ago. They're sort of trying to instill the culture and mindset that Jeremy Pruitt wants much more than they did a year ago. They're not accepting losing, things like that. They've got reminders up throughout the building, of the scores from some of their most lopsided losses to rivals, saying that, never again, essentially. I think they feel they've turned the page. You need to take care of business against the Georgia States and even the BYUs to some degree, even though that will be a tougher game. You need to take care of business in those games for players to believe that in SEC play that it can be sort of a new day. And I think that's important to start the season off on a good note.
And one of the ways to get there, by the way, visiting with Ryan Callahan with Go Vols 24/7, I look at Alabama and their wide receivers, not just one guy or two guys or three guys. I mean, going down the list, starting with Jerry Jeudy, with Ruggs, with Smith, with Jalen Waddle. I bring it up because, one of the things that, historically that we could always count on with Tennessee was the weapons, especially at wide receiver, and then you can also include in that mix as far as what they bring to the table with their running backs as well. That's a sign, too, when you watch the development under Jeremy Pruitt with the offense as far as the players coming in and watching how they get coached up. I'm really intrigued to see how those groupings continue to improve as well.
Yeah, and that's where I think it was so important again. I think it's such a big storyline this year, just how different things look on the offensive side of the ball with Jim Chaney as offensive coordinator, with T. Martin as receivers coach, for that matter. To bring in a couple of proven assistants like that to help out on that side of the ball, I think that's only going to help the development of players top to bottom. It's going to help just sort of maximizing the talent they do have, and that's one of the reasons for optimism for Tennessee this year, that you do have such a veteran offense that returns really almost everybody from last year. Obviously Jarrett Garantano, a veteran quarterback. You've got Ty Chandler, an experienced running back now that can do a lot of different things, can be a playmaker out of the backfield in the passing game and run pretty well between the tackles. And then you've got some receivers out there with a lot of experience in Marquez Callaway, Juwan Jennings. So, at almost every level of the offense, they've got a lot more experience now, and Jim Chaney is kind of the right guy, I think, the seasoned veteran to maybe not come in and shake things up entirely, but just to get the most out of what they have, and that includes Dominic Wood Anderson, a second-year tight end who's a senior coming from the junior college ranks last year, who I think people are expecting to take a step forward this year. So if all those guys live up to their ability, they've got enough to work with on offense. I think that's the reason to be optimistic about this team if you're a Tennessee fan, and certainly the development is a big part of that, too, for the long-term success of the program, seeing what they can do. And I think they feel much better about that side of the ball in general with Jim Chaney calling.